Mr. Pop.
The views and opinions of this show do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this network and its affiliates.
RadioAFS.com. It's the show that educates and not eradicates. Welcome to The Beating Drum, the premier Native American radio show that is preserving and restoring positive Native imagery and sports in the American mainstream. Call in at 646-668-8467 to talk with your host, Barlin Steve.
Big Worm Customs is a company that does it all, from design services to home improvements to vehicle customization, all at great prices and payment options.
Call now for your free estimate, 248-595-6618, 248-595-6618, or online at facebook.com/bigwormcustoms.
What is going on? The Beating Drum on RadioAFS.com, BlockTalk.com, Fatboy Media, DRCP Army, you got the Farmer, you got Steve here on a Friday. And a memorable Friday where we just sworn in the 45th, if I'm not mistaken, President of the United States of America. My hat is off to you, sir. Hopefully you come through with everything that you said in your campaign. Steve, how are we doing today, sir?
I am doing moderately okay. I have an excess supply of medium right now. I'm doing even keeled.
Even keeled. So, wow, I haven't heard that since my grandpa. So wow, it's crazy. I didn't know people still talk like that, Steve.
Well, that's because I'm an old man in a young man's body. Actually, that's opposite way around. I'm a young man in an old man's body.
Well, especially if people go off of your Facebook page, you are definitely an old man, sir.
Well, I mean, I can be old some weeks and younger some weeks. I've even been known to be Asian on some weeks. You know, it's whatever.
It kind of depends on your mood, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, everybody who knows me knows that I'm not really so much for I'm not a big fan of taking photos of myself, and I definitely don't like posting photos of myself. So my profile picture on Facebook is always of somebody else or of some smart alecky comment or, you know, some goofy meme or something to make fun of somebody. But yeah, as far as me putting photos out there of myself, really my style. Like,
right,
to keep people
so,
on their toes.
Yeah, I know. I still wonder how DRCP Army actually got you to use, you know, a picture of you on our promotion. So, you know, it's nice of you to do that, at least for the Beating Drum.
Because nobody asked me. It just happened. I was like,
right.
I just get a message like, oh, hey, by the way, the flyer's out. We went ahead and used this photo of you. And I was like, God, that's a terrible photo of me. I look like I have a double chin. Like, well, that's the only one we could find. Yes.
You know, I think I was the one that actually stole that for him. So, but hey,
yeah.
You know, you were a good sport about that, and you know,
it's all
I appreciate
good.
It. It kind of gives a, you know, faces with the voices and everything else like that. So,
yeah.
Again, I want to thank everybody for tuning in today. It is January 20th. 2017. It's a day that we all will remember one way or another. You can follow us on Facebook. Just type in The Beating Drum up there in your search bar. You can also go to Twitter if you tweet. Type in The Beating Drum also. Or just go into Google, Bing, ask. There's plenty of other Yahoo if you Yahoo. Just type in The Beating Drum. No, I'm not Pocahontas. Steve is definitely not Pocahontas. So scroll down just a little bit, and then you will find the Beating Drum, and give us a like. And I want to thank, you know, this is another great day also for the Beating Drum. We broke 1,900 Facebook likes on Facebook. So for every single one of you that have liked our page, thank you. Now the next step after pressing the like button, it might get a little bit harder on you. It's actually starting to participate. Start talking with us, because we do talk back. And, you know, there was definitely some conversation on our Facebook page, Steve, about a map. And this is where I'm going to take the beginning of the show.
Cool.
Is there was a map on our Facebook page, and it was a map of Native American where they lived before the colonial people came in, and you know, the Europeaners per se. And we had this this person come in and say, this is wrong and you're wrong and you need to take it down. And I'm of course paraphrasing, Steve, because, you know, I only got in towards the latter part, but
right.
You know, he took pictures of his brand new book and says, see, it's right here. See, it's right here. Well, sir, I'm happy that it is in your textbook. I'm very happy. And I'd be even happier if you're educating your students based on that book and not based off of your own ideology. You know, but Steve, this was it seemed like we were dealing with a teenager, sir.
Well, yeah, the whole thing was very, you know, maddening, because there was actually two people that came in and were kind of commenting on this. And they started with, you know, me. I was the one kind of, you know, reporting back responding back. And, you know, it was like dealing with Beavis and Butthead. It really was. And, you know, one of them's like, I'm a teacher, you know, the main guy. He's like, oh, I'm a teacher. And he's up in the state of Indiana. And, you know, he was trying to make it this big point that this picture that we had, this map of the United States with all these, you know, regions that had all these tribes that were living in there. He was trying to say, well, this is incorrect. And this is, you know, you need to take it down. And I was like, we're not going to take it down. Well, it's in my textbook, so, you know, that means it's incorrect. I'm like, well, that's great that it's in your textbook, but that doesn't necessarily mean that that textbook is in every school across the United States, because there are a lot of places, inner cities, maybe even, you know, far out rural areas, and especially on reservations
even, Steve.
Oh, yeah, that don't get top of the line textbooks, let alone brand new textbooks. And he was trying to make the point that we were wrong and that we were in the, you know, in the wrong category because we should take it down. And he questioned our integrity. I'm like, You can take your comments and shove them. That's all I care.
Well, yeah, Steve, you know, and the thing was, is that as soon as he started name calling and towards the latter part, he didn't like, you know, me, you know, saying, hey, you know, your name calling isn't going to get you anywhere on this page. If anything, it's just going to get us to completely stop talking to you. And then right after that, he's like, oh, this book was in 1997 or 96 or whatever. And this was 3 years or 2 years before you graduated. And, well, he was currently thinking he was talking to Steve, but he was also talking to me and probably a couple other of the editors. So all because one person is talking to you doesn't mean that we're all that same age. I do have a call into the superintendent here where I live, so I can have a chat with him to see if he will allow me to take a look at their history books and everything else like that, because I'm curious. You know, I'm curious if my own town is teaching Native American history and if the pictures are actually in there also. So this troll, I'll call him a troll, actually kind of opened up my eyes to see if there are schools around the area that actually have, you know, updated textbooks. But it can be in these textbooks, Steve. That's great. That's all well and dandy. But are the teachers actually teaching on it? Or are they saying,
course,
you need to read pages 50 through 80 or whatever the scenario is, and we're going to have a test? 9 times out of 10, when a teacher told me that I needed to read 30, 40 pages, I was like, yeah, right.
Good luck.
So, yeah, good luck on that one. So, you know, I would like to know if we do have any teachers that are listening to the Beating Drum Radio Show, you know, history teachers, that is, you know, how do you guys teach on that? You know, how do you guys teach Native American history? Do you guys just talk about it during, you know, Wounded Knee and Custer's Last Stand and you know, the Trail of Tears, or you just talk about it during Thanksgiving, because that's what, you know, you want to make it all seem all happy and glorious and everything else like that. That, you know, so if we do have any teachers that are listening, this isn't Steve or I criticizing you over the teaching aspect of it. We're inquiring, and we definitely want to know. So that phone number for you is 646-668-8467. And if you don't want to talk to us live on the air, you can definitely talk to our phone girl or our phone executive. She will definitely, you know, talk to you and then give us the information. Or if you just want to email it to us, you can do that also. That email is thebeatingdrum@hotmail.com. Definitely am very curious in your guys' history curriculum of what you're teaching Native American history. Now, Steve, here's my question to you. Could we actually name, or do you think most people could actually name 4 to 5 Native American tribes on the East Coast?
Well, I think that a lot of people think that they could name 4 or 5 tribes on the East Coast, but they'll probably be wrong, because they'll probably say tribes that are actually not indigenous to that area. You know, oh, well, we have the Sioux, or we have the Cherokees, and I'd be like, are they really on the East Coast? You know, because there's a lot of tribes that a lot of people are not really sure where they're from. Now, you know, growing up in Virginia, I can, you know, talk about a few tribes that are for sure that I know are in that area, that are not well-known tribes. That, you know, when I say well-known, I mean they're not the
Iroquois Confederacy.
They're not the well-known names. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like the popular the popular tribes. You know, the Cherokees, the Comanches, the Apaches. Those are well-known names.
So
there are tribes that are much smaller that have kind of slid, you know, under the radar. They don't get talked about very, very much.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. I think most people, you know more about, you know, the Midwest and the Southern tribes more than they do the East, you know, the Eastern. So that's where this question comes in, Steve. Is, do you think that this is why so many of these Not Your Mascot hate groups, and I like you calling that because that's exactly what they are, do you feel that these Not Your Mascot hate groups in those areas are doing that because they don't know their own history in their own region?
I mean, it's very well possible. A lot of them like to say, well, we know our history. Do you? I mean, do you really know your own history? Because a lot of times you don't portray that. And I really question what their definition of history is, because a lot of times what they're telling me as history doesn't sound like history. It sounds like a legacy of victim mentality. Well, you did this and you took this from us, and you know, we're suffering now. And I'm like, wait a minute. There are other tribes in your area that are doing just fine. So why are you leaning on victim mentality? I mean, that if one tribe is suffering because of political rule or whatever, wouldn't they all be hurting the same way? But we don't see that. It's not across the board equal. And, you know, they use a lot of that victim mentality and they implement that into their history. Like, well, this is where our history is based off of suffering. Like, look, wait a minute. There are good parts to your history also. Why are you leaving those out and only focusing on the bad side? I don't understand that sometimes.
It's like what you were saying. It's truly the victim's mentality, and they're like, "Well, I'm a victim," and you guys now are, you know, you guys need to make right because I've been a victim. Well, I'm sorry, I wasn't born in the 1800s or anything else like that. So, you know, it's not my fault of what, you know, the Europeaners did, and, you know, and everything else like that. Yeah. So if you truly want to live in the past, well, then that's on you. And if you truly want to hate and you truly have nothing but hate in your heart and solely hate in your heart, then that's what you're also going to be teaching your kids. And, you know, hate isn't learned. It's taught, in my eyes, Steve.
I mean, look, everybody's born, you know, with the same size soul. We're all born with the same set of, you know, not characteristics, but as far as our personalities and stuff, you know, day one, it's all the same. We cry, we eat, we sleep. That's it. And that's the way it is for years until we start to learn. We start to assimilate and take things in. That's where your characteristics, your personality starts to really become defined. You learn from the settings and environment around you. I mean, I wasn't always a total, you know, smart mouth little turd. I had to learn to be that way. I came up in that kind of environment, you know, and you can't, you know, it's hard for me to put it into words, but you know, you learn things. You learn how to be hateful. You learn how to be racist against people because you're not born that way. No one just wakes up one morning and goes, you know what? I figured out that this is how I feel. Like, you've learned that over time. And you can unlearn it. You just have to be willing to unlearn it. You have to be willing to open your mind and accept a different viewpoint that will get you to that end.
It's very true. There was so much hate, and we're going to change gears because, you know, we were talking about hate and you breed hate and you teach hate. There's so many people in this protect Native American imagery foundation or some BS name like that up there in Michigan. There's a gentleman that's name is Douglas Nolan. That says that they're all white after all. They don't, you know, they don't have their own history. They have to take ours, and that's from Anna Remy. So what I want to know is, where did you learn this type of talk? Where did you learn this type of hate? There's another person that's Anna, Ann Remley also, that they don't have their own history. Frederick Trammell. This is what they are. We should honor them by wearing Trump masks.
Right.
And then there's an LOL after that. There's another one that says, I don't know, something maybe not racist. They're talking about the Pawpaw Redskins. There's another one, Morel Diaroso. I'm probably butchering it. Get a better cell phone reception. I don't know what that had to do with anything. And then we go back to Ann Remy. Let's put a Hispanic mascot up then. This has nothing to do with anything that they're spewing.
Go one more. What was the next comment after that one about the Hispanic mascot?
I was kind of going different.
One of the prominent antagonists in the Not Your Mascot Michigan hate group turned around, who's, you know, been saying that everybody else is racist and, you know, Native Americans
are
not.
Sorry, yeah.
She turns around and addresses somebody and says, let's call them the Pawpaw Spicks and use a picture of the lady that she was referring to who is part Hispanic.
Correct. And her name is Donna Boyle. You know, and I have no issues. I have no shame of saying these people's names by any means. There's another one here that says, Donna Fannell Boyle, you effing dummy, go back to your country. So this is the type of mentality that these Not Your Mascot hate groups are. They have nothing but hate in their heart. And they have just what I was saying, Steve. It's hate and hatred. They try to discredit you, not you being you, but the people who are trying to save these names and save these imageries and everything else like that by calling them hurtful names, calling them racist names. By trying to discredit any way possible by saying people aren't Native American, and if they are, they're non-Native American natives. I'm like, wait a minute, how can you be a non-Native native? I'm still confused by that, or saying, you know, we're from this area, so our voice matters more than yours. Well, aren't we all Native? So why does it matter if your voice is this and my voice is this? Are you discrediting me? That's what I want to know, Steve, is if you're not part of them, if you're Native and you're not part of their crowd, you're actually not a Native.
Well, they view anybody that's outside of their little hate group, you know, to be an enemy of them. And they use, you know, extreme prejudice when they talk and refer to, you know, anybody that's not a part of their group. I mean, it's so clearly obvious. Someone who goes around and says, you know, this school is, you know, using racist imagery and we don't support that, but then turns around and publicly on a Facebook Live video addresses a part Hispanic person and calls her a spick. I mean, there's only so far you can kind of push your opinion before it becomes like belligerent. And I saw that and was like, wow. Openly contradicting yourself and saying, hey, look at me, I'm a hypocrite, because you've been throwing around, and this is what I go back to, overuse of the word racist or bigot, because they don't know what it means anymore, because clearly they don't, since now they're throwing it back on other people and using racism to address what they perceive to be racism. I'm like, this makes sense to me. It's like slipping into, you know, an alternate dimension or something.
In that group where you can actually see these screenshots, and it's just not my word, it's actually protests for Native rights in Michigan. And they seem, and it seems like these Not Your Mascot hate groups have the mentality is, if you're white, you can't possibly be educated on Native American history and culture. But But yet on their main Not Your Mascot page, and I appreciate, you know, the person that brought that to my attention, you know, they said they don't care if you're white Native American as long as you support them. It's like a double standard, Steve.
It absolutely is. It contradicts their core statement, you know, that they don't want your help unless, you know, you support them. And if, you know, if you're not going to support them, then they don't include you to be a part of the discussion. They only want you unless you're going to stand behind them. And I go back to, you know, when they say, well, you're white, you can't be a part of this discussion. Like, I'm sorry, are you telling me that because of the color of my skin, I'm not allowed to partake in this discussion or have an opinion? And they said, exactly, that's what I'm saying. I go, wow, that's exactly what the essence of racism is. Telling someone that because of the color of their skin, they're not allowed to participate. Like, do we need to go back to the 1960s history and give you an updated lesson on civil rights era? Because I'm pretty certain I could fill you in. It's ridiculous.
But Steve, these people, and I hate to classify them as that, but the Not Your Mascot people, they don't care about history. They don't care about sacred things. They care about one thing and one thing only: their name and them only, their picture, them only being part of the main picture. They don't care about the group that that they affiliate with. They just care about their name and their face, you know, saying, yes, I did this. I did this. I took on this whole school and told them to change their name, and they did it. I am now the best thing since sliced bread. And that type of mentality right there, it really makes you think whose payroll these people are on. Because when you look at certain people's Facebook pages and you do a little trolling yourself, and sometimes people keep things public, sometimes people keep things private, just kind of depends on how internet savvy they are. But when you go through a couple of years of their Facebook page and you see nothing in regards to Native American imagery or having an issue with Native American imagery, And then all of a sudden, it's just like right after another. It's like wham, 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 wham. It just starts to make you wonder who's greasing whose palm at that particular time.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's like you said, you know, they have the mentality of, I did this, I took on this school and made them change. That's their narrative.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is, and the facts support, the actual story goes more like this. I worked with someone who paid me to take on this school, but I couldn't do it alone. So I now have voluntarily brought people into my group who I've indoctrinated and are most likely are paying to go out and antagonize and incite riots and cause problems. And also, I paid someone to support bringing someone into this town in the school level that will instigate problems and create division, all with the purpose of doing away with this name. So it's not a very clear 1, 2, 3, bam, that was the end. It was more like a spider web of networking and palm greasing, which if you are not familiar with that term, that's paying people off. People are being paid. And that is fact. People are being paid by the Not Your Mascot people or Ray Halbert or whoever it may be. They're being paid to go into
Black Lives Matter.
Yeah. Cause problems, incite riots, get in people's faces with the intentions of getting the exact response that they're looking for. I mean, it's not a coincidence that all this stuff is being found out.
No. It just takes a little time and a little digging and you would think that the local news reporters and everything else like that would do their due diligence and see what these people are about and what kind of hate they spew and saying that it's not their national anthem, that it's not their Pledge of Allegiance, that it's not their country and X, Y, and Z. And that right there just tells me what type of mindset that these hate groups are definitely about, Steve.
Well, they hate everything. They hate themselves. They hate the town that they live in. They hate the schools. They hate America. They hate the president. They hate everything. Instead of telling me what you hate, why don't you tell me something that you love, that you just genuinely, without any kind of boundaries, love, that you get lost in because it's just such a great, uplifting experience for your soul. For me, I have those things, music and hockey. Those are the things that bring so much blessing into my life, and I feel like I've been graced with that. But I don't sit here and obsess over things that I don't like. There are a lot of things I don't like in this world. A lot of people, you know, mindsets and mentalities that they have. But I don't use the word hate very often. Hate's a very strong, vicious word. And, you know, when you say you hate something, it's really hard to come back from that. Because you just can't make a 180 flip and then go, well, I used to hate it, but now I fully love it. It's really hard to be that way. Like, I hate spicy food. I do not like spicy foods, but I'm not going to flip on that. But, the point is that you can't just throw that word around for everything. Can you say that you strongly dislike or you don't approve of, but do you really have to use the word hate?
I use dislike more probably than what I should, but I definitely, it's like, wow, I dislike this place because, you know, at that particular time, the service may be crummy or whatnot. And then you go back the next day and, or whatnot, and you're like, hey, you know, okay, now we're up to, we're all right. So once you say you hate something, there's definitely not a, like you said, there's no return back. Per se.
I mean, it is hard because, I mean, you know, for the context of the word, if you were hearing this, I hate black people, I mean, it's like, wow, that's a pretty strong statement to make. How do you walk that back? How do you
can't
turn that around and go, well, you misunderstood me. What I meant was I don't like certain people. That's not what you said. You used these words, very specific, very to the point. And that's what we're seeing a lot of. I hate this. I hate that. I hate you. I hate your whole organization. It's like, wow, you use that word so much. I'm pretty willing to bet that you don't even know what love truly is.
Right.
All you know is hatred.
Because they hate each other and everything else like that. It's almost ridiculous. And, you know, Steve, we have a phenomenal caller here. I'm guessing she's probably going to a basketball game. She really needs to start to attend some wrestling matches, but we're going to activate here right now. We got a near and dear friend to both of our hearts, Steve. We got Kim from Pawpaw. Kim, you are live here on the Beating Drum with Stephen Farmer. How are we doing tonight, girl?
I'm awesome. How are you guys doing?
I'm grouchy.
Steve, grouchy.
Are you?
And I'm doing all right.
Good. Good.
I'm doing all right.
At the basketball game. We're playing Oswego. So the Redskins are playing the Bulldogs. So
there you go.
Good. But, yeah, it's good. We took Andre to dinner. And he's like a celebrity here. He's in the stands. People are, give me this. Talk to me about this. What's this? We walked the cemetery. It's called Prospect Hill Cemetery, where there's everybody finds artifacts there. And we looked for Arrowhead. We didn't find any. But we got a lot of good history. You know, there was tombstones from 1812. 1802. I mean, it was an awesome afternoon. You know, breakfast with the whole clan. I mean, it got to the point where everybody was pulling the table, and it was good. We've learned so much. That's what the thing everybody is saying if you're watching our polls. Oh, my God, shame on us, shame on our school, shame on everybody. We have no education. When he came into town, first thing we did, we went into the library, the Pawpaw High School Library, and he's like, let's see what you got. The she's not a librarian, she's a clerk. She said, well, let's look, Native Americans. She pulls out 12 books. We pull them out. We start to look through them. And it was cool because I learned a lot. Well, Andre, I opened a book, and it's like, here it is. And I'm like, wow, look, Andre, read this. And I'm going to post it on my Facebook. It said, when the warriors went to war, they plucked all the hair out of their head except for the crest on top, and they covered themselves in okra and went off to war and then came back. And I mean, and then they put the ash so that the gods wouldn't. It was just so cool. And then Andre opened a book to page 38, a little book that looked like it should be thrown in the garbage. And he opened it up 38. There it is. The red people. He is the red people. It's right there, people. All we have to do is read it. You know, the sad thing, book hadn't been checked out since 1972.
Wow.
The information's been right there under your noses. It's been under your noses the whole time.
People. 9 books out of the 12 describe the Redskin. You go to the Redskin in the back, and they describe the Redskin the way we've taught it, the way Andre has taught us, the way you guys have taught us, the way Eunice has taught us. It's right here, people. All we have to do is use our tools. Use our tools. It was good. Well, then it was funny because the clerk, we were leaving, and Andre went to the restroom, and we were leaving, and she was getting into it. She was looking. She was searching. She comes out. She's like, wait a minute. And she's like, we have more books. I'm like, what do you mean we have more books? She goes, yeah, we have 180 in our library. I can pull them all out for you. We can go through them if you want. I'm like, no, we're okay. We just kind of wanted to touch base. But she's like, really? You can we'll check these out. And I'm like, no. She was amazing. So she was learning, and we talked, you know, we were talking about the Redskin and how it is, and how when you come from birth, you come into this world, you're covered in blood with no hair. I mean, he had the audience. He had them. It got heated, but it got heated because you know what? Some of our people let them rent space in their head, and it wasn't us who were with the, you know, what's funny, this is what I want to say, what's funny, and I hope they're listening, you say that the Redskin means the N-word to you, because you're afraid to say the Redskin word. Well, you know what, I want to say shame on that girl, who we don't have a lot of African-Americans in our schools. We have a few families, and they're amazing families. One of them is on our basketball team, and you turned around, and you, loud and proud as you are, so ignorant, yelled that word out to her, and then you expect not to have any response. You know what she said? She goes, and she didn't, our side, I mean, she yelled it so everybody could hear her. You're us, and went off. And I was like, oh, my God. And she said, you know, don't call me that. She got up and she said, shut up. Don't call me that. You're not from here. You don't have the right to call me that. Go to where you belong. You don't belong here. And, you know, and of course the news spun it. All they have is our parents reprimanding them. They don't have the other parents. It's just they have no respect. And I tell everybody, sit on your hands and bite your tongue. Don't be. But it's hard. How long can we do that? How long can you sit and look at me? We sat in the front row and look at me, and you're shaking your finger at me, telling me I'm a racist, that I'm a white trailer trash racist. And I held my tongue, and I'm shaking my head. Dude, you're, first of all, you don't know who I am. I've got more colored blood running through me than you have in your little finger. You're white. You know, now I'm offended you call me white because I ain't white. I mean,
I'm
waiting
for that one, Kim. I was waiting for you to say that one. I was waiting for you.
I'm not white. My mother is blonde hair, blue eyes, German, and Cherokee. And my father is 100% Mexican with Apache. I'm not white. And even if I was white, who are you to judge me? How come I live in a trailer now? How come? Because we're from Papa and we're farmers. We live in a trailer. No. Who's racist? Who is really
racist?
I'm
a farmer and I don't live in a trailer. Jeez, that's stereotyping right there.
Exactly. Who's racist? Let's call a spade a spade. You come to our town and tell us we're racist because we want to keep something that is near and dear to us. You know the only fault we have? This is the only fault we have, that we've had all this history. The Coast Guard has a museum in Grand Haven. There's burial grounds there. It takes somebody, as they say, an outsider, from coming from Washington to discover that we have it 50 miles away from us. Shame on us. That's the only shame we have, is that we had this beautiful, wonderful thing, and it took us 90 years to figure it out. And it took an outsider to bring it to us. Now, we might be a little slow on the draw, but we're not racist. So shame on us for not embracing what we have. But that's changing. We're getting committees for all kinds of stuff. People are on board, the good people. I don't have to do it by myself. We're going to get committees for education. We're going to get murals on our wall. We're going to get stuff from the Native American, the Coast Guard. We're going to do it all. And maybe it did take somebody, I don't want to say smarter, but more experience and the knowledge to say, hey, here you go. But isn't that what the whole world is about? Surrounding yourself with people that have the knowledge that you don't.
Well,
all
it's
about,
you know,
education, Kim.
Yeah.
You know,
and sometimes you look for that person that acts as a catalyst to bring it all together, because you have scattered pieces. You need that glue that brings it together, and that's what you got here.
Exactly.
And
they,
you know, the problem that we have nowadays, and this goes for everywhere, you know, in the country, this is not just indicative of your town, and this is a very leftist idea. They think, and they fully truly believe, that it's illegal, that it's against the law to be racist, which, shocking fact, it's not against the law. You can hate people.
Right.
You know what? You choose to who you to like or love on your own admission. The problem is, it's the actions that come from being racist that are illegal. And we can go back to people say, well, what exactly do you consider to be a racist action? Okay, well, let's go back to in the mid-90s, but down in Jasper, Texas, where those two or three guys, you know, white guys, a bunch of country guys, jumped that old black man, tied him to the back of a truck, and drug him until his head came off. That is a racist action. That happened. I was living in South Texas when that happened, and I remember it was on the news for years. And we're not talking about a guy who was in his 30s. He was an elderly man. They beat him and they drug him from a truck, all because of the color of his skin. It had nothing else to do with it. Now, I'm not saying that everybody in this town is like that. That's not the case. These people were tried. And I could Google this and pull up for me, but this actually happened. That is what it means, you know, to say this is racist actions. These are illegal because you killed somebody because of the color of his skin. That's where you go from
that
a hateful thought to a
racist,
hateful action.
That's horrid.
It's absolutely horrible.
You know,
so when
the
people,
thing I do
well,
want to
you know,
say is I have to give huge kudos to our community. Right, wrong, or indifferent, they came. They showed up. We filled that auditorium. We stood there. We are proud. We gave away 278 T-shirts.
Wow.
278 T-shirts. It was a sea of red. Regardless of some of people getting out of control, it wasn't too bad. It could have been stopped. They could have taken control of that meeting a little bit better. Don't let all our people talk to the school board. They sat there and instigated, you know, looking at us. They could have controlled it a little bit better, but it's over. You know what? I'm done with it. Over. We're moving on. It's Monday at 7 o'clock at the cafeteria, the continuance. But I'm going to tell you right now, I have never been prouder of our community. They came, they got called white, trash, uneducated, names that we don't use in our town, told us they hate us, No, we didn't do that. You know, did some get a little upset? Yes, definitely. But how long do you expect us to take the bullshit from another, from people that are spewing hate like it's diarrhea coming out of their mouth?
Yep.
Not in our community. I don't care who it is. I don't care if there's somebody getting beat up on the street. I don't know you, but I'm going to get out of my truck, and I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you. I clean. That's what I do. I clean. We were in an apartment complex, and there was a gentleman. I didn't even know what he was doing, and I was pulling around, and there was an older gentleman on the ground, and I thought he was mugging him. So I jump out of my truck, and it's his wife and him trying to help them up. The man was having a heart attack, so we got him in the car. And the lady's like, I said, we'll get help. We'll do. And you know what? I am a good person, so I don't let anybody tell me I'm not. So I sat there with the gentleman, and we said prayers. I didn't know what religion he is. I'm Catholic. I said a prayer with him, and I said to the lady, he's passing. And before the police could get there or the ambulance, he passed. He passed.
Mm-hmm.
And she said to me afterwards, and her daughter, she left me a note at the complex when I went back to clean, and she said, you know what? Nobody would have stopped to hold my husband's hand when he was passing, but you stood there and you held it. Because you know what? That's what people do. You don't have to be white, black, red, pink, polka dot. You have to be human. You have to be human, and you have to have a heart. And we are not – that's the other thing. We're not for sale. That tribe can take their money, and I can tell you what they can do with it. We don't want it. We don't want your nasty gambling money. We don't want Ray Halliburton's money. You want to give me something, Ray? You come see me. We'll talk.
Most definitely,
come to
Kim.
Papa.
You know,
come
and there was a banner, Miss Kim, that a certain local business made for you guys. I'm having a brain fart on that company's name.
Oh,
but
yeah,
I would love for you. Yeah, I would love for you to if you have their phone number, and definitely give them a seamless plug here on the beating drum, please.
I definitely will. Not one banner. He paid for two banners and sponsored on our shirt. He's on our sponsor. It's Arrow Metal. And did you see we gave you kudos up there on our shirt? Yeah. You're at the top of the baby.
Did.
That's where it started.
Thank you so much. I saw and I got choked up from it. So, you know, as much as you say we did for your guys' community, it goes vice versa. So from the bottom of my heart, I appreciate everything that you have done with the beating drum and everything else like that. We wouldn't be part of Pop Off if it wasn't for you. So definitely appreciate that.
We appreciate you, and I'm going to tell you, these people don't know what they come up against, because the beating drum, MAGA, all those schools, they've got another person. And I'll tell you, we're a force to be reckoned with. We're going to show you, and I'm going to be on your team now. Once this is done, I'm ready. I've learned a lot. I'm still a beginner, but I'm willing to learn. So we're ready. We're ready to help you guys.
Wow, that's awesome. That's news that is sweet to my ears, and I'm sure the staff of the beating drum is just like jumping up and down and elated to hear. So we appreciate everything that you have done there in Pawpaw, and it's just awesome that community has somebody just like you.
Thank you. We appreciate you guys. But I'm going to let you go so other callers can get on. Have a great night.
All right, Miss Kim.
Okay,
you're welcome. Take care. Steve, She is a firecracker of all firecrackers.
Yeah, she's like a ladyfinger. Remember those little itty bitty tiny ones that were like red, green, and yellow?
They're really small,
very unassuming by the looks, but they've been known to take people's hands off.
Yeah.
It's like the whole hand off. Like, wow.
One thing about Miss Kim, man, that is one woman that I wouldn't want to cross paths with her.
Well, I mean, I think that's pretty evident.
Well, guys, we're going to take a quick break here, and we'll be right back here on The Beating Drum on RadioAFS.com, BlogTalk.com, Fatboy Media, and DRCP Army. We'll be right back here on The Beating Drum.
Messages.
DRCP Wicked Division is an independent hardcore label with locations in Michigan and Ohio. Available now, Mind Bomb by Carnage, and look for Welcome to the Dark Side by Carnage in the summer of 2017, along with Young Justice debut album. Find the wickedness at DetroitRockCityPromotions.com or on Facebook at DRCP Wicked Division.
The water in Flint, Michigan is making people sick. You want to help? Flint Stock Productions needs your assistance. Flint Stock Productions is a nonprofit organizing several events that help children affected by the water crisis in Flint. The funding assists doctor and medical costs not covered by insurance and also replaces contaminated appliances of Flint residents. Flint Stock 2016 is dedicated to maintaining clean water in their community. Visit FlintStock2016.com. Again, that's FlintStock2016.com.
Bob's Big Bend Bowling. Stop by for some awesome food and bowling fun at Bob's Big Bend Bowling, located at 119 East Main Avenue, Ritzville, Washington. Or call ahead to reserve your lanes today at 509-659-0540. Open Monday through Fridays, 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. and Saturdays, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. That's Bob's Big Bend Bowling.
Dying, touching.
Welcome back to the Beating Drum on RadioAFS.com, BlogTalk.com. Yes, I know I didn't press the handy-dandy little button. Every now and then, Farmer likes to go off a little sideways, and you just never know what he's going to do. You know, Steve, this has been one hell of an hour show. You know, we're gonna change it up here a little bit. You know, lately we've been going 2 hours and everything else like that. But I think today, I think we're gonna wrap her up maybe a little bit early, keep people in suspense for next Friday, and also keep people in suspense for Steve's Monday Night Live, which is always my favorite. I think it's becoming definitely a family and friend fan favorite, Steve.
Yeah, I would say it's kind of become a fan favorite. There's definitely a core group of people that every Monday are watching and commenting, which is great. I just wish that we could get more people involved and more people would start watching and taking an interest in it. But it is a good thing have. You know, it's a good little segue into our show, and I use you know the time to talk about our past shows and things that are going on right now. That, you know, obviously, the things we talk about here are slipping through the cracks of the mainstream media outlets. No one's talking about this stuff. So, you know, this is your chance to kind of step up and you know, respond back and throw some stories out there for us to listen to or to engage in. You know.
No. Most definitely, you know, and the cool thing is it seems to be getting more and more views every week, and it's showing, you know, our Facebook likes are going up and everything else like that. So, you know, that's definitely a very, very awesome thing for what's going on. I guess before we get into final thoughts, Steve, it looks like we got a caller. It's our wallflower. It's been a while since the old wallflowers talked to us. So I think we're going to make this boy live, make this man live. Bob, you're live with Steve Farmer on the Beating Drum on Radio AFS. How you doing, brother?
Hey, Steve. Hey, good. How are you?
What up?
Well.
I'm doing well, my man.
Great. Quite an event out there in Pawpaw, huh?
Yeah, it was definitely, I think that right people from Naga and the Sioux Nation and that type of thing, I think that the right people showed up for the mentality of what's going on out there in Pawpaw.
Yeah, absolutely right. I mean, how lucky are the people of Pawpaw to have Eunice, Dave, and Andre all in the same place, educating, having a good time, speaking the truth,
mm-hmm.
you know, getting rid of all the lies, fighting the good fight.
Definitely.
And to me, it'd be interesting to see what some of the other communities that we've reached out to think about what happened there and what they've learned. You know, but even some of our other administrators, you know, what are your thoughts? Any thoughts out of 413 in Massachusetts? I know Chris is listening. That would be nice to hear. You know, I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, definitely would be. What's your thoughts on what's going on there in Pawpaw before we get to Farmer and Steve's final thoughts?
Well, my thoughts on the whole situation is, you know, we've seen it 1,001 times now almost, and they've done absolutely the right things. And Kim was right. It's hard to keep your cool when somebody's got their finger flashing in your face over and over and over again. Human nature sometimes takes over and you're going to blow your stack, and that's understandable. But I hope and I feel that the, you know, Andre has helped them and the community's helped themselves in stating how the community feels and presented all the facts. And I don't think the school board, if the school board has their head screwed on straight and they're going to vote with the community, then the community's going to win. And their Redskins' name is going to be saved.
Yeah, Bob, I definitely agree with you, and we always appreciate our wallflower calling in. It's been a minute. I know you've been busy doing whatever wallflowers do besides, you know, washing paint dry and looking for your khakis and trying to drink out of the bubbler and everything else like that. So, you know, it's always a awesome time to have the wallflower here on the beating drum.
Well, I always appreciate the time. Truthfully.
Hey, you're welcome,
Bubla.
Bob.
Bubla.
There you go.
Okay,
I'm learning. You know, I'm still trying to, you know, Kat sent me a word in French that I already forgot it, so I'm going to have to go back and re-listen to it. So it's a fun word. I know she's chuckling right now just at it. So, yeah, you know what? It's awesome, Bob, that you called in, and I appreciate every single minute that you give to the beating drum. Same thing with Miss Kat, and same thing with Miss Kim, and everyone that's on the beating drum staff, and Steve is definitely holding it down when I can't be around, that's for sure. So my hat goes off to the entire staff of the beating drum, and without hesitation, let's cut to the chase.
Now, with your final thoughts from Farmer.
Well, guys, my final thoughts today is, you know, we need to come together as people and as a country and decide what's right. We need to not shoo the 9% people under the table. We don't. That's not what needs to happen. What needs to happen is we need to ask them, what made you so bitter? Why are you so bitter about a name, about an imagery, and everything else like that? That's what I want to know, truly. I want to know what made you so bitter. And I don't think that you could actually give me a reason, a valid reason, of why you're so bitter. Because it's racist. Well, okay. Why? 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 I'm going to ask you. And every time that somebody comes on the Beating Drum Facebook page or on Twitter or kind of gets me sideways somewhere, I'm going to ask you, why are you such a sourpuss, in so many words, about this particular thing? And it's because, well, the mainstream media. Well, there's your first problem right there, is you're listening to mainstream media and you're not thinking for yourself. You're not doing your own research on Google or on Bing or on Yahoo or Ask or whatever other search engines are out there. You need to educate yourself. And maybe with that education, you may drop out of the 9%. You may actually become one of the 91%. And that's not my goal. My goal is to see why. Why do you hate Chief Wahoo? Why do you hate the word Redskins? Why do you hate the word Braves? And then to flip that quarter, why don't you hate the word Eagle? Why don't you hate the word Seahawks? That's my next question. Because it seems like you're trying to eradicate every single Native American word and or meaning that goes back to Native people. So if in your eyes and in my eyes that the eagle is such the greatest thing, why is that okay? Why aren't you all hell-bent on the word eagle? That's my question for you for tonight. And why are you so hell-bent on eradicating my people's history? I think those are pretty strong words. And I would like an answer. You can call in tomorrow, or not tomorrow, next week, 646-668-8467. And let's get some dialogue, because that's what this is going to come down to. It's not going to come down you calling somebody a spick. It's not going to come down to you calling somebody a wetback. It's not going to come down to you calling somebody a cracker. It's not going to come down to you calling somebody the N-word. I can't even say that word because I was told not to. That's not what it comes down to. It comes down to dialogue, and it comes down to why you think that it's okay to call those people names. Why? Why do you think that's okay? And don't tell me because it's racist. Don't tell me because they're racist. Because you calling those names are, well, we could call you that also. But just remember, the Beating Drum is the premier Native American radio show in America that is preserving and restoring positive Native imagery in sports and the mainstream. As many communities across the country have been targeted by groups such as the Not Your Mascot hate group, the Black Lives Matter hate group, the NAACP, and many other changers to change names and icons of their beloved sports teams. By falsely claiming that these names and images are racist and derogatory towards Native Americans and other people. It's time we bring these fights to these groups, and I believe we have, and help communities by educating them with truth, as well as dispelling the misinformation being presented to them. Remember what Kim just said? That book wasn't checked out since 1972. All the education that they have needed is right there under their nose. We can't do this alone. We need you, our family, and our friends. We're reaching out for help. Call into the Beating Drum. Let your voice be heard. Let's educate and not eradicate. And I always say it every week, and even in my videos, never back down.
Now, with your final thoughts from Steve.
I'm waiting for the day when we do this order where he goes first and then I finish up, and after his, he hits end episode and forgets about me. I'm betting money that one of these days it's going to happen, and it's okay. People slip up. We're all humans. We're not perfect. Speaking to the human not being perfect, this is where my mind is at today. You know, today is it's the inauguration of a new president. Tomorrow's a new day. It's the dawn of a new era for this country. And unfortunately, that new dawn is going to have a hangover from the last 8 years, because there's a lot of people that are going to carry over to the next 4 years. That's a very sobering thought, because, you know, I think that some people think that as soon as a president's out, the problems are, you know, gone and we get new problems. No, that's not how it works all the time. And a lot of the problems that have kind of built up and kind of, you know, been agitated over the last, I'm going to say the year and a half to 2 years, are really starting to kind of come to a head here. And today's one of those days where you can be very proud to be an American, and you can be very embarrassed to be an American, because we're seeing the best of the best and the worst of the worst. And it's hard right now to be who we are as people, because we're no longer living in a country that is black and white with 13 varying shades of gray in between. It's just black and white. It's like good and evil. You know, there's just two sides now. And that's a really kind of a hard thing to find. It's a hard place to find ourselves in, because we need those varying shades of gray, because that's where most Americans live. And those people in the middle, they just want to live life, man. They want to get along, go to work, get a paycheck, raise a family, and have a somewhat semblance of a happy life. That's all I want. I just want to live a mediocre, modest life. But yet you have some people that are on the opposite ends of the spectrum who want this really radical vision for our country. And we can't have that, because this radical vision doesn't lead us into the promised land. And I'm not talking about liberals versus conservatives. I'm talking about people who are wanting to sanitize culture out from everything, to the people who feel like you can't say certain words to people. You can't use certain pronouns because they're offended. You know, that whole mindset needs to go away, that everybody's a victim just waiting to be victimized. You know what? America used to be the promised land. This is where people came to because they truly were victims. Victims of religious persecution. Maybe they were, you know, victims of really radical extremist groups that were, you know, driving them out of their homelands, or maybe they were victimized, you know, with assaults. And you know, you get people coming here because this is supposed to be the country that you can come to with $20 in your pocket and forge a life. That's how a lot of my ancestors did it. That's how my dad's side of the family did it when they came from Germany. They came here on a boat and we became, you know, peach orchard farmers. That's how my family, my dad's side of the family came up. And no one cried the mentality. There wasn't this overwhelming sentiment of, you know, I'm a victim, appeal to me and appease to my sensitive nature. It's time to get past it. And I'm disgusted right now with all the amount of animosity and hatred that's being portrayed on the TV, with all these people attacking cops and rioting and protesting. You know what? That is not the way to go. That is not a good path to travel down. I know they think that's the way to go, but it's going to make it worse. It's time to put away your sensitive feelings. It's time to send the therapy dogs back to the pound or wherever they come from. Put away your Play-Doh, dry those salty tears, and let's get to work. There's a lot of things that we need to fix in this country, and it will not start to happen until these people get the message that, you know what, tomorrow's a new day. Let's move forward with a clear mindset and a new way of thinking, because the thinking for the last few years has not led us to a great place. Look at how divided we are as a country. It's no coincidence that racial tensions right now between, you know, blacks and whites, or whites and Native Americans, or blacks and Mexicans, whatever it may be, they're at an all-time low, and tensions are very high, and that's not good for our country. We need to overcome this, put aside the petty differences, and stop worrying about, is a school name racist, or is it, you know, really offensive if some person supports a political figurehead that I don't like? No, you know, those things are really petty, and it's not important stuff to focus on. There are bigger issues going forward that we need to focus on. Let's do that. Let's come together as a nation. Let's put our boots on and let's go back to work, because the free ride is over. It's time to get with the program or just get gone. And the program is good if you take part in it and you see it through. So clear minds will lead us to great destinations. So use your mind, be clear-headed, and stop using the word racist and offensive and demeaning. Stop using those words for everything. Stop relying on the word hate as your go-to word. You've really worn out the welcome with these words. It's overplayed. They're saturated and watered down because no one knows what it means anymore. It's just, you know, We've got to turn the corner on this and start working together rather than fighting against one another. So let's, you know, let's come together as a nation and let's turn the corner and let's go somewhere great. Let's do that together. Let's stop, you know, making victims out of each other and stop making friends into bad guys. I mean, what else have you got to lose? Let's make this, you know, a better place to live for the future generations. So with that, I'm done. We will see you guys next Friday. I will see you on Monday. Come and see me. We'll talk. We'll tango. We always do. It's always a good dance. Be sure to check out our store. We have merch that we would love for you guys to purchase. Winter is still in effect, so grab a hoodie, grab an adult onesie, whatever, you know, or just get a shirt and be happy with that. Alrighty, guys, we will see you next week. Everybody, take care of each other, all right? We'll see you guys. Aloha.